I'd like to open with a prayer, and this prayer is it's from a book that I read. It's called Jesus Calling. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with this, but it's a great little devotional. The way that it's written in the way that Jesus is writing the letter to you. It's like he's speaking this right to you. So I read March 11th, which is today, and I went, wow, that really fits for this situation. So if you could pray with me and listen. Walk by faith, not by sight. As you take steps of faith, depending on me, I will show you how much I can do for you. If you live your life too safely, you will never know the thrill of seeing me work through you. When I gave you my spirit, I empowered you to live beyond your natural ability and strength. That's why it is so wrong to measure your energy level against the challenges ahead of you. The issue is not your strength, but mine, which is limitless. By walking close to me, you can accomplish my purposes in my strength. This is a great day. Break them all. Hey, Randy's not here, so. Anyhow, I want to thank you for coming today, and I pray that the words that I'm about to speak, that they resonate in your hearts and your minds and your soul, that Jesus is speaking to you and helping you. I have a story to start off with here. A troubled man prayed and prayed that God would lift his burden. Day after day, he prayed that his life would be easier, and he begged for God's intervention. One day, Jesus came to the man and asked, "My child, what troubles you?" The man replied that his life was full of turmoil and that it had become too much to bear. He again asked for help, stating that he just couldn't continue to go on. Jesus, feeling the man's anguish, decided help was in order. The man was so happy that his prayers were about to be answered that his burden had already felt lighter. Jesus took the man to a room and stopped in front of the door. When he opened the door, what the man saw was amazing. The room was filled with crosses, little crosses, big crosses, giant crosses. The man, bewildered, looked at Jesus and asked how this would help him. Jesus explained that each cross represented a burden that people carry. Small burdens, big burdens, giant burdens, and every burden in between. At this point, Jesus offered the man the opportunity to choose his own burden. The man, so excited that he was finally able to have some control over his life, looked around the room for just the right cross. He saw a tiny little cross way back in the corner. It was the smallest cross in the room. After a bit of thought, he pointed to the cross and said, "That one, Lord, I want that one." "Are you sure, my son?" The man quickly replied, "Oh yes, Lord, most definitely yes." Jesus turned to the man and replied, "My child, you have chosen your own cross. This is the burden that you already carry. I have some slides of some other burdens It looks kind of heavy, don't you think? How about the next one? Oh, yeah. That looks like it would be easy. How about the next one? Oh, yeah. And the, oh. Yeah, that's kind of heavy, exceeding the maximum. But this last slide, I think it's something that we all have in common. The burden of sin. I'd like to, the next slide, read this. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That's Matthew 11, verse 28. God has given each of us talents and life experience that follow His plan. Each of us has something different and unique to offer the world. Everything we experience in life guides us to the place that God has chosen for us. He works through us if we allow Him. He needs each and every one of us for the work that He needs done in this world. There's so much to do, and we all have a part in it. Listening to testimony is one of the most powerful experiences that I've witnessed. Each one of us has a story, where we began, where we are, and where we hope to be. Looking back at my beginning, I can say that the love that I've experienced from God and His forgiveness is what puts me here in front of you this morning. I've been so blessed in my life because of Jesus. He put a love deep in my soul at a very early age. I can remember being 4 or 5 years old and sitting in church and just being amazed that I could be allowed to be in the presence of the Lord, because we were in God's house. You know, God's in charge of everything. He is even bigger than Elvis. Now, I grew up in the 70s, so understand. And He's more famous, too. At age 9, I began serving as an altar boy. For 5 years, I was allowed to serve in the most important part of our week, Sunday service. At age 13, I decided that I wanted to become a priest so that I could serve Him every day. What a joy to be in the presence of God every day. When I became old enough to understand God's love and what He wanted for me, I understood that I didn't need to be a priest to be in the presence of God every day or to serve Him. I can serve Him every day, no matter what the job or vocation. I can serve Him every day by sharing His love, the love that He gave me. I've lived a pretty normal life. I've had my ups and downs. And I'm sure from the outside, maybe my life may seem more difficult. But the one thing that I can say that is the absolute pinnacle of awesomeness, that was the day that Jesus took a hold of me with my arms wide open and pleading for forgiveness. Do you know what He said to me? He said, "I love you. I've always loved you. And I will always love you." Isn't that amazing, having God that we serve? And He also loves us. I was blessed to have such a strong foundation rooted in the love of God and fortified by His grace. A lot of people don't have that opportunity. Isn't that sad? Doesn't it make your heart hurt knowing that there's people out there right now who don't know Jesus, who never knew him? Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time to get out there in the trenches? It's time. Judy agrees with me. Thank you. Don't let another day pass without sharing the gospel of Jesus. Why are we here? We're here to worship. We're here to give thanks. That's a huge part of it. Why we are here? Another part? We're here to learn more about our Savior so that we can share more. The more that we learn and understand, the more we open ourselves to His voice and His will. God speaks through us, sometimes with words and sometimes with actions. Be God's vessel. Be the light in a darkened, sinful world. I'd like to read Matthew 24, verse 14, and it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Well, we're all still here, so it looks like we have some work to do. Christ gave his disciples a commission and through them his church. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Your testimony is the story of your life here on earth, your ups and downs, your burdens, your crosses. The gospel, that's the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's Jesus' testimony. It foretells of the life that we have, our eternal life with our Creator. In Jesus' words, his comfort for you and for his disciples, and me too, in John 14, verse 1, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." I pray everyone here has accepted Jesus into their lives as their Savior. Giving yourself to Jesus completely and surrendering all that you've known is a huge step. Stepping out in faith. God's in control. If He's able to create an entire universe and everything in it, what makes you doubt that He can't help you? That He can't forgive you? God is much bigger than this little box that we put Him in. He stretches from the beginning to the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. We will never be able to understand His full greatness, His abilities, His intentions, His decisions, His compassion, or His grace. Recently, we lost a brother in the faith, Reverend Billy Graham. He was an inspiration to many and brought many to know Jesus. His faith in our Lord Jesus and his perseverance in sharing the gospel took him from a little town in North Carolina to around the world. Some referred to him as the Protestant Pope, but he referred to himself as a child of God, a brother in Christ. a husband, and a father. As a human being, Billy was no different than you and I. He was born, he lived, then he died. But the journey of faith in Jesus showed all of us. It was so amazing. He was a humble man. Did nothing for his own boasting, but for the glory of God. His life was more than just a line between two points. It was an exciting adventure with Jesus at his side. I want to tell you of another journey. Jesus' journey, the journey to the cross. In Jesus' times and before, the cross was the most terrible form of execution that the Romans had for criminals. They would tie them with cords or nail their hands to the cross and leave them hang there until they died. Sometimes this could take up to a week. But when they sentenced Jesus to die on the cross, it was much different. They forced thorns onto his head. They mocked him and they spit at him. They scourged him with whips that had pellets on the ends of them. They beat him within an inch of his life. And then they made him carry his cross to a place outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha, the hill that displayed many deaths of thieves and murderers. Hanging on to each breath, Jesus walked and stumbled under the weight of that cross. With each step growing weaker and weaker, once he reached that hilltop, they nailed him to that cross. The pain of each nail driven through his hands and through his feet had to be horrific. But then they raised him up to hang there. The Savior of the world, treated like a criminal, hanging from the cross. He hung there for 6 hours and a darkness fell over the land, a darkness that you and I are responsible for. This darkness was as if God had blocked his view of Jesus with the clouds. It was a separation between God the Father and God the Son. At this point, Jesus called out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was in that moment that the sins of the world were laid upon him, a reckoning for you and for me, washed in the blood and made white as snow, pure, so that when God sees us, he sees us wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus. You see, God is far too holy and pure to gaze upon sin. It was his plan from the foundation of the world to have his only begotten Son take on this mission, to restore us, to redeem us. In John 1, first chapter, verse 1 to 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made." God placed in the beginning sentences of John's gospel his Son Jesus right there next to him. Jesus, who knew no sin, who bore the weight of all of our sins. There's only one word to describe that. It's love. Perfect love. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. No matter how big the sin is, it's sin. No one has a sin too big for Jesus. Grace flowed down from that cross. Each drop of living blood ran down and covered us. The amazing grace that broke the chains of sin. The evil one lost. He lost. I recently saw a YouTube video. The title was Billy Graham's Last Message to the World. There's a part in it that I wanted you to hear, and it's pretty powerful, very true. So I'd like to read that part I transcribed from the video. These are the words of Billy Graham. The cross is offensive. It confronts people. Even so, it's a confrontation all of us must face. We deserve the cross. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment and all that that means. Many people would dispute the cross and be offended being called a sinner. But the cross directly confronts the evils that dominate this world. The cross demands, doesn't suggest. It demands a new lifestyle in all of us. Sin is a disease in the human heart. It affects the mind and the will and the emotions. Every part of our being is affected by this disease. How can we break this bondage? How can we be set free? God helps us to break those chains. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. He can make you a totally new person. That's a known. Whew, that's good stuff. But you see, the only way to the Father, Father God, is through the cross of Jesus. This means that we need to do our part and repent of our sins and turn away from them. The sacrifice that He gave, God the Father, was God the Son, Jesus. Our ransom has been paid. We have been redeemed. We have been lavished in His grace. If you've not given your life to Jesus, the time is now. The cross demands a new lifestyle. He loves you that much that He died for you. Listen again, very closely. God loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for you so that you could be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, to open the gates of heaven, to raise those who have fallen asleep, for all the saints of His church, you and me. We are the body of Christ, His church. All this He did so that we could be with Him for eternity. We should take a moment right now and open ourselves for the King, our Lord of Lords, the Almighty One. If you could, take a breath, close your eyes. I want you to imagine that you're standing in front of Jesus right now. Take that big burden you've been carrying. that huge bag over your shoulder, your burden of sin. Now put it at his feet. That's right, I said it. Put that big burden at the feet of Jesus. You feel that? No more weight. No more worries. Just breathe. With your heart prepared and your soul open to His will, reach out to Him. Don't be afraid. His arms are wide open. Will you pray this prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. One last bit of scripture I'd like to read from Acts. This is the second chapter, verse 21. It says, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."